Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Hey, it's Nick Hopwood, founder and president of Peak Wealth Management with episode 66 of Finding True Wealth. I'm here with Brian Vincent today from the Finland Insurance Agency in Plymouth. And Brian and I have been working together for the last couple of years. We originally met through Jim, actually, and we've been attending a networking group together. And Brian's helped us a lot with our group benefits here at Peak and some of my own personal insurance benefits. And I thought it would be interesting for all of us to learn from our experiences through Peak and mine and share it with you on the Finding True Wealth podcast. So Brian, he lives here in Northville and has been working in insurance since 2005. His lovely wife is Mo, and he has two little kids at home, and he's a big Michigan fan. So without further ado, let's welcome Brian. Well, Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's our first video podcast.
Awesome.
the inaugural edition here. Today we're going to be talking about health insurance, disability insurance, Medicare. A lot of fun topics, right?
Yeah, no, exciting. Thanks for having me again. And yeah, no pressure. First video podcast.
Right. The thing I like about you, Brian, is that you are a Michigan grad, just like me.
Well, yeah, I hope you like more than that.
Yeah, well, a couple other things. So you graduated from Michigan in 2005, poli sci and psychology. How do you end up selling group insurance and insurance benefits with that background?
I have no idea.
How do you? What was the path getting to this point?
To be honest, my mother-in-law has owned her own independent insurance agency for a long time, and she got me into the business, so that's where I started.
Okay, gotcha. Nice to have a nice family introduction, right?
Absolutely.
It's all about who you know.
Yep.
So what's your favorite part about this job, like with which line of insurance and, you know, individual versus small business? You know, what's your favorite aspect?
My favorite aspect is working with people. So I would like to consider myself an expert, but I don't really have a favorite area, whether it's working with companies or individuals. I just like working with people.
Okay. So when we met, we looked at my personal family health insurance, and we had an individual policy at that time, and you were able to show us how if Peak set up a small group plan, mm-hmm. right, with health insurance, that we could actually save a little money, mm-hmm. and have so save on premium and have less out-of-pocket expense, basically, like lower deductible and such.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when you're looking at an individual plan, which is just an Affordable Care Act plan.
Right, the bronze plan, yeah.
Whether you're getting a subsidy through the marketplace or not, versus an employer-sponsored group plan, it's a no-brainer. You get a lot more bang for your buck with an employer-sponsored group plan. Not every company can qualify, because you do need at least two. Mm-hmm. One full-time W-2 employee in most cases, plus an owner or another employee. But if you do qualify, the employer can deduct it, so that's beneficial.
Yep.
Contribution that the employee makes towards their own premium is pre-tax as well, and then the benefits are just, you know, night and day. With the group plan, you get a lot more bang for your buck, lower deductibles and everything.
Yeah, I've been really happy with your recommendation, so thank you.
You're welcome.
And the next thing we talked about was disability for myself. And coming into the conversation, I had two different disability policies. One was an individual policy that I purchased like in 2004. And the other one was kind of like a pseudo group association that I joined. Mm-hmm. And it was like some sort of financial advisor association. You pay like $10 to be part of the association, and now you get access to this benefit plan. Mm-hmm. And so I guess you call that a group plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was pretty favorable. Much better, for me anyway, it was much better benefit for the premium compared to the individual policy.
Absolutely.
And so what we decided to do was kind of buy more of the group and ditch the individual plan. So that was very helpful as well.
Yep. Well, I think that's the analysis you have to do with disability and all types of insurance. Where do you get the most for your money?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about group disability versus individual. You know, I think I don't have all the stats, but I know that you have a higher probability of becoming disabled before 65 than you are of passing away before 65. But yet everyone has life insurance. Well, you're more likely to have life insurance than you are to have long-term disability insurance. Is that right?
Yeah. I think there's more of a focus out there on securing life insurance than there is on securing disability insurance.
But even though the facts are that we're more likely to become disabled, mm-hmm. So why do you think that is?
I'm not sure. I think that recently there has been a focus on the importance of disability insurance and replacing income. At least for the time I've been in the industry, the focus has predominantly been on, do you have life insurance? Once you get life insurance, maybe we'll go from there. I also think that if you have an employer-sponsored disability policy, that's awesome, but it's not the norm. And individual plans that you have to pay for yourself are expensive, so people often get sticker shock.
Yeah, I know that looking at my plans that I've had before, the individual policy is much more expensive. So when it comes to group disability, you put these plans in force for small businesses. Like, maybe is it the same kind of thing with health insurance? You have to have a group of two? Or, you know, how does a typical small group disability plan look? What does it look like?
So there are a couple important differences between an individual disability policy and a group disability policy. The first is that group disability policies are not underwritten typically.
So you could have a pre-existing condition or anything like that and get included.
Yeah, you can be. That's not to say that a claim is going to be paid right away because there are pre-existing exclusions when it comes to beginning a group disability policy. For example, if you have a voluntary group disability policy, which just means that employees pay their own premium, but you get the group discount, most of them will include a pre-existing exclusion where they look back 3 or 6 months at, for example, a pregnancy. So if you became pregnant within the last 3 or 6 months, then you would not be able to file a claim under the policy.
That'd be a sweet arbitrage opportunity.
Yep, no doubt. Yeah. So that's a big difference. The other difference is that the premiums are obviously lower when the employer is paying for everybody. So they would call that, I described an employee paid voluntary disability policy a second ago. That's one way to go. The other way to go is 100% employer paid.
That would be nice.
Yeah, well, and companies like that because they know that everybody's going to participate. Mm-hmm. So you get the best rates in that scenario. Okay. And usually there are no waiting periods. So everybody is taken as they come.
Okay. And so how does, if you purchase, whether you purchase a group policy or an individual policy, we're looking at a maximum benefit, mm-hmm. A duration of benefit, an elimination period. How does that all work?
So typically, you're going to have a bunch of different terms, but the important ones are what is your maximum amount and what is the period of time that you're measuring that. So it may be weekly, it might be monthly. With a group employer-sponsored short-term disability policy, they'll generally have a weekly maximum, say it's $1,000 or $1,500. And then you'll have a percentage. So you can get up to 60% of your weekly wages based on either W-2 earnings the prior year, base wages plus bonus plus commission, just base wages. And then you can get 60% up to whatever the maximum is. You can get up to whatever amount you want typically. If you're buying your own policy, you just got to pay for it. The other important terms would be the duration. So is it going to last for 2 years? Is it going to last for 5 years? Is it going to last till Social Security retirement age?
In my mind, I always seem to think that an LTD, long-term disability, takes you to 65.
A lot of them do.
Yeah.
And a lot of them start to reduce at different rates after you hit 65.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of them do. If you buy an individual policy, they'll usually quote it for 2, 5, 10, and up to Social Security retirement, up to 65.
Yeah.
With a group plan, long-term disability generally runs to 65. Short-term disability would run for 90 or 180 days, depending on when your long-term disability starts.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if you have an elimination period, is that more so just individual policies, or does that apply to group policies
group
as well?
As well.
Okay. So if a group has a long-term but no short-term, that elimination period is a problem. The short-term, then, if you elect it, would fill in that elimination period gap.
Exactly, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's two different waiting periods. You've got the elimination period, and that would apply generally to a long-term disability policy. So say it's 90 days, and there is no short-term policy, or you don't elect it, it's a voluntary plan and you don't elect it as an employee, then you've got to wait that 90-day period. With a short-term policy, they've got usually two different waiting periods, one for sickness and one for injury. And some are 0 days, so right from day one, no matter what, you can submit a claim and get paid. More often, they're 7 days for an injury, 7 days for an accident. Or sorry, 7 days for an injury, 7 days for an illness.
So as the writing agent, right, mm-hmm. you're setting everything up, whether it's individual or small business or medium-sized business. After that, you come in every so often and review the policy, make sure that it still makes sense and that it's the right one for you. But on the administrative side, when there's claims, right, they're just going right to the insurance company, or are they going through you?
No, they're going through us.
Okay.
Yeah, our job, I always say my job, is to make whoever's in charge of HR at the company make their job as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. And if I'm working with an individual, it's to make their lives easier by taking the burden off of them so they don't have to spend their whole life on a disability claim. So we assist in answering the questions. They're going to answer them, but we assist, and then we'll take care of all the communication between the broker and the insured.
That's a nice service.
Between the company and the insured.
Yeah, that's a nice service. Now, I've heard... my wife and I were at a wedding, and she was a bridesmaid, and what was it? This lady was telling us that her job was to work for the insurance company and, like, follow people around that claim disability and, like, take pictures of it and make sure that they were still legitimate claims. She's like, this one lady was out in the front yard, like, doing somersaults and stuff, and she said that she had a back injury, and so... What do you ever run into a case like this where people are making false claims and, the insurance company does some research and they figure out that it's bogus?
To be honest, I have not, but I'm sure it exists.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of employers view...
I was fascinated with this lady. Like, we were talking the whole night.
It's a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit... I'm not sure how much it pays, A. And B, it'd probably get old just following people around.
Yeah.
But... being a private investigator, if you catch somebody like that, it's got to be
rewarding.
Rewarding, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, I haven't come across... I've had a lot of claims come across my desk, but all of them have been legitimate.
So if I'm 40 and I have a LTD policy that takes me to 65, that's 25 years, right, that the mm-hmm. insurance company can be on the hook. So is there some sort of mechanism to make sure, to check in, to look at the doctor's reports, to make sure that it's still... that I'm still disabled, right? That I haven't recovered?
Yeah, so the insurance companies rely on physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And the physicians would be required to complete a statement each year.
Every year?
Certifying.
Okay.
Yeah, possibly even more often. But mm-hmm. They're looking for certification that the disability is continuing.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about disability? Oh, okay. So... we did another podcast last year with Jason Steinhelper, Social Security Disability.
Yeah.
So let's say I believe that my disability will last longer than a year,
mm-hmm.
which makes me want to apply for Social Security Disability.
Right.
But I also have, my policy through you. What would I do?
Well, it depends. I guess I would back up a little bit, and if you had talked to me before we secured the disability,
yeah, let's say that you sold it to me, yeah,
we would want to make sure to review and shop based on any coordination clause, which just means, is there a clause in the disability contract that requires an offset for other types of income, specifically Social Security disability, wage loss from an auto accident. If it's an individual policy, does it offset for any money received from a group policy and vice versa? So that's the important clause and the important language when it comes to what are the implications of filing for Social Security disability, specifically how does it impact your disability policy collection?
So a better policy would be a policy that allows me to collect my Social Security disability and still keep my insurance company benefit.
Yeah, and I mean...
So they're stacked.
Exactly. That's not always possible. It's really based on the customer's budget.
Because it's more expensive.
It's more expensive. Yeah. And it's few and far between, at least in my experience, it's few and far between if you're securing disability insurance as an individual. It's a little bit more common if you're securing disability insurance as a company.
Okay, so let's use an example. Let's say the policy that I have... Let's say that, and just making up numbers, round numbers, let's say that that is $10,000 a month, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a really big number. And then Social Security disability for me is $2,500 a month. So if I had the cheaper policy, right, with less bells and whistles, they would pay out the $10,000 a month, but then they would look and see the Social Security of $2,500, and they would actually only pay $7,500 a month.
Exactly.
Okay. And if I had the better plan, which presumably is more expensive, I would be able to keep the $10,000 a month plus the $2,500 a month.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's not to say that Social Security disability won't be reduced based upon your disability insurance payments. I don't know that part.
But that's the idea.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Okay. Boy, I would hate to have that taken away.
Yep.
You paid that much into Social Security, you know.
No doubt. It'd be kind of like Calvin Johnson, you know, the Lions coming back after it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They go after his signing bonus too.
Yeah, they went after
just like Charles Rogers, who unfortunately just passed away this week.
Yeah,
but they went after his.
I don't think they ever got it back from Charles Rogers.
I think there's any money left.
Back. Yeah,
yeah, that's unfortunate. Okay, so what else is there about disability that we need to know about?
Lots, but
what's the high level stuff that won't bore us?
I think for now, it's just important to know that disability insurance can help your family continue to live close to the way that your family was living prior to an injury or illness that keeps you from working.
Oh, here, I just thought of another question. What about taxation? You know,
tax-free.
Okay, so in my example, that $10,000 is tax-free.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you pay tax, well... At least for an individual policy and most voluntary group policies.
After tax dollars.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You're paying for it after you've already been taxed. So when you get the benefit, no more taxes.
Outstanding. So let's talk about Social Security disability for another second, not to step on Jason's toes here. But once you are approved for Social Security disability at age 40, I'm then on Medicare, right, for my health insurance.
So 2 years after you initially qualify for Social Security disability, you're eligible for Medicare.
Okay. So is that just like a retiree where I have to buy a Medicare supplement?
So you would start with original Medicare, which is your Part A coverage, which has no premium. That's your hospital coverage. And then Part B, which comes with a premium, the standard I believe for 2020 is $135.50 per month for Part B, and that's your doctor type coverage.
Yeah.
So if you go to the doctor, this is my copay, that's the Part B coverage. It could potentially be higher than $135.50 based on your income. But you start with original Medicare, and then there are really three ways to go. The first option, in my opinion, is not a great option, and that's just to keep original Medicare. Second option would be to elect to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, which is referred to as Part C. They wrap all of your hospital, doctor, and drug coverage into one plan. Some of the plans have a $0 premium, which is very attractive, and great copay benefits, but there are some out-of-pockets. So you save a little bit on the monthly premium, but you could potentially spend a little bit more out-of-pocket. And then the traditional Cadillac option, with some of the options, $0 out-of-pocket, whether you're in the hospital, going to the doctor, or getting an x-ray, an MRI, whatever, is a Medicare supplement, sometimes referred to as a Medigap. Mm-hmm. A Medigap simply, it fills the gap between original Medicare and no costs. So original Medicare leaves you with 20%.
Some gaps to fill in.
Yeah, it fills them all in so that from day one, if you go to the doctor with a lot of the different plans, you pay nothing. You go to the hospital, you pay nothing. But you've got a little bit higher premium per month. For somebody who is freshly 65, mm-hmm. it might be for a G plan, which is a very good plan, about $130, $140 bucks a month. For somebody under 65, I assume because the insurance companies know that that person is disabled, yeah. so they have more needs, it's going to be a little more expensive, maybe okay. around $300 a month.
Okay.
But you've got your supplement, and then you have to add a drug card, a Part D drug card on top of that.
Let's talk more about these freshly 65 folks, because I know they get bombarded mm-hmm. when they're 64, right, with yeah. mailers every day. And they have a tough decision because it's kind of confusing, right? A, B, C, D, E. I mean, how right. high does it go? And, you know, based on my medical condition, is it better for me to choose a Medigap plan, a supplemental plan, or a Medicare Advantage plan, or, you know, what do I do about prescriptions with the donut hole and all that? You know, let's say I'm 65 and I go see my financial planner because I'm going to retire, and they say, go talk to Brian because he's going to be able to help you with your Medicare choice. You know, what questions do you ask me, and then how do you determine what to recommend?
So first of all, everybody's situation is different. Yeah. So obviously,
so none of this is strict advice, right?
Yeah.
Just general conversation between you and I.
Absolutely. Yeah. Generally speaking, I would really encourage anybody, who is, becoming eligible for Medicare or mm-hmm. who's been on Medicare for a while to seek the help of a professional.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't cost you anything. The price is the same, whether you go direct to the company or go through an agent.
Mm-hmm.
But B, because that agent can help you pick the most cost-effective option out there, and it's going to be different for everybody. And then going forward, review that each year because things change.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, if somebody has a lot of health issues and their budget is big enough so that they can afford a Medicare supplement policy, I'll generally... recommend that.
Steer them in that direction.
The most important factor with that is that you get one shot at a Medicare supplement policy with no underwriting.
Okay.
So
only one shot.
Only one shot. So it's whenever you first become eligible. And for a lot of people, that's the month of their 65th birthday on the first day. And a lot of people, it's when they come off of an employer-sponsored plan because they're retiring. So it might be when they're 70.
Yeah.
But whenever you first become eligible, you get to enroll in a Medicare supplement with no medical questions at the best possible rate. And you're locked in for life.
So let's say I make that mistake and I don't do that right in my first month of eligibility. And then I decide that I want to come back to that. Now I have to answer a health questionnaire and... I could be denied?
Yeah. So I guess just to back up for a second, the other option would be a Medicare Advantage plan,
yeah.
Which does not require any medical... There's no underwriting.
Okay.
So no pre-existing conditions, no medical questions, and you can enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan right away. You can change it each year during open enrollment. There's still no underwriting. With a supplement, if you do not take a supplement when you're first eligible for Medicare, you can always... enroll in a supplement later, and it's not subject to the open enrollment rules, so you could do it mid-year. You could wait till open enrollment, do it then, but you are going to have to answer medical questions, and depending on your answers to those and depending on which company it is, you may be declined or they may assign you a higher rate.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Speaking of the rates, Fidelity put out a study, I think they do it every few years, and it said something like a husband and a wife from age 65 until the second death could spend over $240,000 or $250,000 in medical for their retirement. And I thought, oh, that doesn't seem right. And I did the math and realized with your Medicare premiums, your supplemental premiums, any out-of-pocket costs times two, right, for 30 years, it can add up to be $240,000, especially if you assign inflation. And we've definitely seen inflation with medical.
That's staggering. I don't know how that could add up. But
it does. I did the math.
I believe you. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
And it makes me think about HSA.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of HSA plans, a lot of people gravitating towards high-deductible HSAs with traditional health?
To be honest, people who get it, because they've spoken to somebody like you, they love them. But it takes a little bit of convincing and some education to kind of bring religion to somebody who doesn't really understand why they should take a plan that doesn't give them anything right away.
Yeah, I feel like I have no benefits, but I pay less than I did before, so that's good. And I'm putting away that $7,000 into the HSA each year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess I could definitely use a refresher on the financial benefits of the HSA.
Yeah.
I know we've spoken before about using that HSA money in retirement, right?
Yeah.
As a vehicle.
Yeah, so a triple tax-free money goes in, tax deductible. You can invest it and grow it, tax deferred. And then when you pull it out in retirement for medical, it's tax-free. And so if our retiree medical is going to be over 200 grand, it makes a lot of sense to pair that with an HSA.
Yeah.
Right? And most people that have elected HSAs, they put the money in and then they use the money to go to the doctor. What we want to do is stop that behavior and use our out-of-pocket money, you know, pay out-of-pocket from the regular bank account for the cost of that medical procedure or doctor's office visit and allow the HSA to grow to take advantage of all three aspects of the triple tax-free. So I like to work that. I feel like I work that into almost every podcast, to be honest.
That's operating on another level. Yeah. That's...
So, but it really has nothing to do with Medicare in itself, right? Like, I guess if there is a Medicare HSA plan, I would take it.
Yes.
Like, sign me up.
Once you hit Medicare age, you can use your HSA money, I think. You know, we'll have to check the IRS rules. Or you
don't say anything you will regret, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can't continue to contribute to an HSA.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, you know, another thing about Medicare, I mean, when I started in this business 20 years ago and people would say, I want to retire at 55. I mean, first of all, that's a long retirement, so you got to have a lot to start with. But we used to say, hey, look, I mean, you can't get Social Security until 62. It's really hard to retire before 62. And now the conversation changes to say, hey, Brian, it's really hard to retire before 65 because health insurance is so expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like $1,000. So am I right here and say, if let's say we have a husband and a wife that are 64, I mean, it could be like $1,000 a month each.
Yeah, or more.
Or more. I mean, and that could be the high deductible plan.
Yeah.
So when we do our financial planning software, we build out, let's say they want to retire at 60, 5 years of $1,000 a month each in extra, like a separate bucket, a separate goal for medical. And so if you don't have that HSA to help with this retiree medical, you could be facing some problems. And so the other part of that is, you know, now people are wisening up to delaying Social Security. So if you were going to delay Social Security from 62 to upwards of 70, now that puts even more pressure on retiring early and, you know, strain on the portfolio.
Yeah.
So you just have to have a ton of money in your back pocket if you want to be able to retire early.
Yeah.
And then the third point on it is, and it, you know, we're kind of getting off topic here, but the third point is people are not working and hitting the wall at 65 and then it's a hard stop.
Yeah.
We're seeing people do semi-retirements and maybe work less stress, less hours, maybe a second career, and working longer.
Yeah.
right? Like a high hourly rate consultant,
mm-hmm.
right? I like that a lot, and it allows people, you know, to maybe live longer because they're less stressed and more healthy.
Staying sharp.
Yeah. Staying sharp, engaging with other people, with community, with, you know, some meaningful purpose.
Yeah. Well, and Ebs, I mean, from your perspective, you know, from the perspective of continuing to live the way you want to live, to have income coming in that's not just Social Security.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Especially if you elected Social Security at 62 and
yeah.
it's the lesser amount.
Yeah.
You know, it's not gonna pay the bills. And especially if you have a mortgage, right? We could go on and on. But I think in summary here, right, when it comes to disability,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, we have a group option, and sadly, not all companies offer a group option.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have one, that's great. Okay? Make sure you elect it.
Yep.
Especially if they're paying for part of it.
Or all of it.
Yeah. And on the individual side, right, you know, it's going to be expensive, but it's something that is really important. Okay?
Yep.
It's something that could be more cataclysmic to your family than if you pass away. Could be worse.
Yeah, well, and it can't hurt to shop it, you know. Yeah. I would think everybody could find room in the budget for it, but maybe not. You'll never know until you price it out.
Right. And then on the Medicare side, what I'm hearing is, hey, I can have a coach in my corner, a consultant, for no cost, because the price is the price.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be helpful for me to go through these 20, to just set aside these 20 mailings that I get every day and talk with someone like you who can help me make an educated decision, because you have hundreds of cases that you've seen and processed and put in place, whereas I'm doing it for the first time and I don't know anything.
I think I agree with everything you just said, and even more importantly, we have computers that are way smarter than me, that allow us to input a lot of different variables like specific prescription drugs, specific medical needs, doctors and hospitals.
Yeah.
So we can compute the most scientifically cost-effective option.
Man, that sounds like an awesome algorithm.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Maybe I should just go buy that software and do it myself.
Yeah, well, actually, you should, man. I'll show you.
Okay, so I have one more important question, okay? I'm not sure if we'll be able to post this podcast live before Saturday, but this is Michigan State week,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the spread is Michigan by about 2 touchdowns. I'm not sure what the over-under is or whatever, but I don't care. I want to know, what's the score on Saturday?
The game's always tight. I think 21-17 Michigan.
Okay, so you're going with Michigan, but 4 points.
Yep.
One score.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you come up with 17 for Michigan State? Because they really, you know, their offense has been sluggish, right?
Yeah, I think they'll step it up a little bit, show us a game. I don't know how I picked 17, just pulled it out.
Maybe a turnover, like a pick six, right? Their defense can...
Well, 2 touchdowns and a field goal.
Right. But I have no confidence in the Michigan State offense. I see a lot of 3-and-outs.
Yeah.
But maybe their defense has a pick six or a
I get what you're saying. Yeah, their defense is going to score all the points except for the field goal.
Maybe they could. They could. Maybe we have trouble with the snap or something, and they get a TD out of that. And on Michigan's offense, 21. So, you know, 21 I think should be enough to win, right? But I'd like to see more.
Yeah, well, I think 7 could be enough to win, but, you know, I'm erring on the side of...
last year it was 21-7.
Was
and,
it?
And their 7 came off of a Chris Evans fumble, basically on our own 7-yard line. And then they ran a trick play for that TD. So I was... what was my score? My score was 27-9. So I think that we'll get a couple more scoring possessions, and I have just no confidence in Michigan State's offense. So maybe 3 weak field goals.
Yeah.
And it's 27-9.
Well, I certainly hope it's 27-9.
Yeah. Are you going?
No, I'm not. I know you are.
Yeah, I'll be there. My kids are old enough now where, you know, we enjoy all the home games. How old are your kids?
2 and 3.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't recommend it.
2 boys, yeah. And I'm actually a single father this weekend. My wife's going out of town with a bunch of her girlfriends, so... Yeah.
You might not even get to watch it at all.
Yeah, no, I probably won't.
They're still taking naps, though, so a noon game is good for a kid's nap.
True.
Right?
But they would not nap just to make sure I can't watch it.
Yeah, that one day that, the month that they don't nap.
No doubt.
For the Notre Dame game, my wife was out of town with my oldest son at a soccer tournament. So it was me with my second son and baby Quinn. She's not a baby anymore. She's almost three. But I was home, so we had a babysitter on that Notre Dame game for like 20, it felt like 24 hours straight, and it was a heck of a babysitting bill.
Yeah, well, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I should do this weekend.
But it was miserable because it was that rainy game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was awful. But yeah, you know, get a babysitter and come to the game.
Parent guilt is real. So yeah, I don't think I can do that.
I don't suffer from that.
That's awesome. I wish I didn't.
All right, Brian, well, thanks for coming on the podcast. Appreciate you. Brian Vincent from Finland Insurance in Northville?
Or Plymouth.
Plymouth, okay.
Yep.
It's on the border, right?
Yeah, it's
pretty close.
Yep. Five. Pretty close, right off of...
like Five and Beck?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks again, Brian. Good stuff.
Thanks, Nick.
Minutes.
Cool.